Well, this weekend, Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church is hosting the art show of the Flying Colors Art Group. As you know, Flying Colors has been meeting here for 20 years, and so we're hosting the art show in celebration of that fact. And my sermon, as I said at the very beginning this morning, will be somewhat different from what I usually do here on Sunday mornings. We're going to be talking a bit about art, Christian art, and iconography. And I'll be using a number of high-resolution images, but the activity over there makes me worried as to whether or not they're coming out. But assuming they make it, I want to encourage you to feel free to move to somewhere else in the sanctuary so that you can see the screen. Unlike most Sundays, this message will be dependent upon that. Our scripture passage that Jim just read is from Luke 1, 26-38, the Annunciation. The passage tells of the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary, informing her that she is the one chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus, the Lord. There is a very beautiful Roman Catholic church in the modern city of Nazareth, Israel, that is appropriately named the Church of the Annunciation, that satisfies this Bible passage. There we are. When this church was being built, it invited Christian artists from around the world to provide the decorative art for the building. The church was completed in 1969, and that date is reflected in some of the art that you will find on the walls of the church building. Some of it is just plain weird, like this 1960s. But there is one piece of decorative art that I think is magnificent. It is a mosaic of Mary and baby Jesus. I recall the first time that I saw this, visited this church and saw this image, I found myself fascinated by this mosaic. I was a young man, I was 17 years old, and it had never occurred to me to picture baby Jesus as Japanese, or still less the Virgin Mary in a kimono. But that's the power of art, isn't it? It can open our understanding to new ways in viewing and understanding the world. As you may know, Lois Ann has a wide-ranging collection of nativity sets from around the world. Part of the Atkinson's preparation for Advent each year is deciding which ones will be unpacked and displayed. She has far too many for us to put them all out at one time. Lois Ann's collection includes nativities from Israel, the Cameroon, Vietnam, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, Guatemala, Mexico, Poland, and of course the United States. The varieties of nativities reminds us that there are varied portraits of Mary and baby Jesus, and it reminds us that the message of Christ is given to all people. This morning, I want us to think together about the ways in which the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, have been portrayed in art through the centuries. Now, before we do that, we need to note that there are, within the Christian faith, there are three great streams of tradition: Roman Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant. We as Presbyterians were part of the Protestant stream. Now, these three streams of tradition relate to the story of the Holy Family in different ways. Roman Catholics and Orthodox tend to give the Holy Family in general, and Mary, the mother of Jesus in particular, a much higher place in their thinking and theology than we do as Protestants. And for this reason, Mary and Joseph and Jesus show up in the art of Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches more than they show up in the artwork of Protestant churches. My sense is that we Protestants tend to think that Mary belongs to the Catholics, but not to us. And for this reason, Catholic and Orthodox artists are more willing to portray Mary, Joseph, and the Holy Family in art. And, of course, for the Orthodox churches, icons play a very important role in their worship. Icon, that word simply means image. An icon is a religious, a spiritual image. You know, the contrast between, say, a Presbyterian church sanctuary and that of an Orthodox church is striking. Here at Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church, our sanctuary is relatively plain. There are very few artistic images within this sanctuary. There are two angels who appear to be unrolling a scroll in the stained glass above the chancel. The color in the stained glass in the sanctuary is mostly geometric. As you leave the sanctuary, there is a stained glass representation of Mary at the empty tomb of Jesus. She is weeping. She has not yet seen the risen Jesus who is standing behind her. Now, in contrast to Fairview's relative visual simplicity, if you visit a Greek Orthodox church, you will find the front of the sanctuary is what they call an iconostasis, literally a wall of religious art, an art gallery of spiritual and religious imagery. On our recent trip to Israel, I sat in a Greek church one evening while a group of German Christians were singing and praying and reading scriptures. I could not understand a word that these fellow Christians said, what they were saying or reading, but it didn't really matter. I was pleased to listen to them read and sing while I studied the artwork that was around me in the sanctuary. Now, to begin our discussion of the artistic portrayals of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, let me show you first an image, a photograph that is most definitely not that of the Holy Family. This is a photograph from 1986 of the Atkinson family as it was then constituted at that time. It's me, Lois Ann, and our son Benjamin. What do you see in this photograph? Well, Lois Ann and Benjamin and I are in a field. Though it's in the shadows, there is a small tree in front of us that we have just planted. The woman to our right is apparently planting a tree as well. The ground is rocky. In the background, you can see a yellow bus with Hebrew lettering on it. Also in the background are additional small forested areas. The woman immediately behind us is holding a camera, suggesting that this is a tour group. If you look closely at me, you'll note that I'm holding a Bible and a book of Holy Land maps. Lois Ann and I are smiling. We're clearly happy. This photo was taken in Israel, very near Benjamin's second birthday, and we're celebrating his birthday by planting a tree in his honor. Benjamin looks a little thoughtful. He's probably wondering when somebody's going to hand him a piece of birthday cake. Now, what is the message of this photograph? What does it say to us? Well, we note that this is a real family. It's a photograph taken at a particular time and place. The photograph was taken in a natural setting. The Hebrew words on the bus tell us that we're probably in Israel. We can see the bus and a car and other people in the background. And so we look at this photograph and we know that we're looking at a family in the real world, the world as it existed in the 1980s in Israel. Let's look at our next image. This is a painting by the artist Raphael. If you've been to our home, you may have noticed that a reproduction of this painting hangs in the stairwell of our home. What do we see here? First, we note that this is not a photograph. It is a painting. In fact, if you look carefully, you can see some of the brushstrokes of the artist. It is a painting of a young family, though the husband appears to be a good deal older than his bride. Their clothing certainly suggests a different time period. This is not a modern family. Still, the family is painted in a natural setting. We can see buildings, trees, other people in the background. The landscape is rather diverse. There are hills and valleys and mountains. I mean, this location could be somewhere here in Pennsylvania. Now, you don't go to the beach without getting a tan. We all must live in the age in which we are born. The artist Raphael lived during the Renaissance, and he was a product of his time. After the Renaissance, it was expected that artists would paint their subjects in the natural world, in the horizontal world, the world as they saw it around them. Now, this expectation would present a challenge to an artist who wished to portray a spiritual truth. You know, in the Nicene Creed, we declare, "We believe in all that is seen and unseen." How do you see the unseen world? How do you perceive spiritual reality? How does an artist paint such things? You know, spiritual realities, such as God, love, forgiveness, evil, divine purpose, angels, humility, prayer, providence, faith, hope, and love. These are real realities, but they do not have a concrete material existence in the natural world. You cannot see or touch them. How do you paint such unseen spiritual realities? Well, the artistic expectation after the Renaissance presented a challenge to artists who wished to make the subject of their art spiritual in nature. If you're an artist and you want to paint a spiritual theme, how would you do so using only natural reality? Well, Raphael, in this painting, does three things to address this challenge. The first is he fudged a bit. He included halos. Halos, of course, are not natural reality. They're not part of nature. Now, Raphael's halos are present, but they're not dominant. The halos over the mother and son tell us that there's something more to be known and understood about this mother and her son. The halos tell us that it's not enough to see them simply as a mother and son. Something more, something spiritual is at work here. Second, Raphael communicated his spiritual truth by using the biblical symbol of the sacrificial lamb. You know, today we might not be surprised to see a baby riding on the back of the big family dog. Think of those children's books about Carl the Rottweiler or the big red dog Clifford. But the presence of the lamb in this painting is an important clue to understand what is being told to us. By including the sheep, Raphael is doing what Christian artists have done through the centuries. He's giving us a symbol to reflect a spiritual truth that is contained within the natural setting of the painting. The symbol points us to the spiritual message that is hidden within the frame. You say, well, Pastor Mark, what is that message? Well, in the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming to be baptized by him, John declares, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The imagery of the Lamb of God, of course, is very significant to the biblical story. And the presence of the lamb in the painting tells us that the child portrayed by Raphael in this painting is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God. Thirdly, Raphael communicates his message of the spiritual importance of this family through the artificial use of perspective that he uses in the painting. The perspective of the painting is very surprising. The family is painted so that they take up the bulk of the surface of the painting. You know, the natural setting and background is present. You know, certainly the family exists in the real world. But relative to the natural setting, to the background, the family dominates the size, dominates the painting. They fill the bulk of the painting. The three family members are, in this sense, literally larger than life. Now, question to ask at this point is this. Well, okay, if this was the challenge after the Renaissance, how did artists prior to the Renaissance communicate spiritual truth in their art? And to answer that, our next image is a reproduction of the newest icon that Lois and I have added to our collection. Again, we have a painting of the Holy Family. It is like Raphael's painting in that Mary and Jesus each have halos. Joseph gets one too this time. But besides the halos, obviously the paintings are very different. In this painting, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are not painted with the same lifelike quality given them by Raphael. They're human, to be sure, but the representation is not quite as three-dimensional. In addition, you may see that there are Greek letters, words, and coded abbreviations on the ground behind Mary and Joseph. And the most obvious difference between the two paintings is the presence of the ground. In this image, behind the Holy Family is a ground of gold. Now note, it is not a background. A background is what we saw in Raphael's painting. A background places the subject of the painting in the natural world. You know, Raphael painted the Holy Family in a natural setting. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus could have been outside the town of Jim Thorpe in the Poconos. In contrast, in the icon, the ground of gold behind Mary, Joseph, and Jesus could not be mistaken for Pennsylvania. Icons are painted on gold ground as a way of emphasizing the spiritual significance, the value of the message they proclaim. And the presence of the ground is key in assisting us to understand the message of the icon. By painting on a ground and not a background, the first thing the icon artist is telling us is that what we see in the icon is spiritual reality, not natural reality. What's being communicated is vertical truth, not horizontal truth. Those who paint icons believe that the natural world tends to hide spiritual reality. In the natural world alone, the spiritual message gets lost. How many people in our world today believe in the seen, but not the unseen? The great art historian H.R. Ruckmacher used to say that nature eats up grace. If all you see is the natural, the horizontal world of time and space, then you will not perceive the spiritual reality that stands behind it. There is more to life than what you can see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. There is an unseen world that gives meaning and purpose to the natural world. To be the men and women we ought to be, we must be able to move past the seen world in order to discern the unseen spiritual truths that underlie it. As an aside, let me just say here that this is the great failure of much modern education. Much modern education teaches and trains our children to see only the material world. To be fully human, my friends, and to find fulfillment in life, we must see beyond the natural world to perceive the spiritual truths that stand behind it. If you want to see the spiritual reality, you must break through the barrier of the natural reality of the natural world. Now, this quest to break through the natural reality in order to perceive the spiritual reality that undergirds us is illustrated in our next image. This is from an anonymous artist from the Ferrarese school. The painting is called The Virgin and the Child with Angels. A copy of this painting hangs on the wall in my office. And this painting is one of my all-time favorites. If you want to see the original, you need to travel to Edinburgh, Scotland. Before I describe the painting and its message, permit me to tell you just a little bit about the traditions between the iconographic patterns that are used in representing Mary and Jesus. Tradition says that the first iconographic images of Mary and Jesus were painted by Saint Luke, the same guy who is the author of Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. Luke must have been a very talented person. We know from the New Testament that he was trained as a physician. We know from his name, Luke is a Greek name, not a Hebrew name, that it tells us that his family was, if he was Jewish, his family was very Hellenized. It was profoundly influenced by Greek culture. Luke wrote his gospel and the book of Acts following the ancient Greek standards of writing history. Clearly, he was very well educated. And, at least according to this tradition, he could paint as well. The tradition also suggests that it was Luke who first painted each of the three classic patterns of portraying Mary and Jesus in iconographic art. We're going to look at each three as I draw this message to a close. The first, the less common one, is what's up on the screen now, and that is of Mary and Jesus surprised by a vision of angels. This is a pattern of how artists portray Mary and Jesus. It's Mary and Jesus and angels in either corner. It's a shame that we don't know the name of who painted this particular painting, because this particular painter was a very spiritually insightful man. You see the iconic pattern in the center, Mary, Jesus, and the angels in the upper corners. Now, look to the top, bottom, and sides of the painting. What do you see? What's on the perimeter of the painting? It appears that what we see on the sides, top, and bottom of the painting are the torn remains of another painting. The canvas portions on the side of the painting suggest that there was something previously covering Mary and Jesus and the angels. The artist is saying to us, in order to see the spiritual reality of Mary and Jesus and the angels, you must break through the other canvas, the canvas that covers and hides them. Mary and Jesus are hidden until you break through that which hides them from your sight. What is it that covers them from your sight? It is the natural world. If you see only the natural world, then you paint only the natural world. If you see only the natural world, then all you see is a mother and son. And the artist is saying that to see the spiritual reality of Mary and her son Jesus, the Messiah, you must break through the canvas of the natural world. And this is what the torn canvas on the top, sides, and bottom is telling us, that there's an unseen reality in front of us, and we must learn to see it. Our next image is that of the second of the three patterns of the types that were established by St. Luke, according to tradition. This is called the Virgin of Tenderness, and you have undoubtedly seen representations of this before. This is a very common iconographic image of Mary and Jesus. In fact, this was the first icon that I ever purchased, was from this pattern. Note that it is painted on a ground. There are also Greek letters and coded messages on the ground behind Mary and Jesus. You know, the artist is telling us we're looking at a spiritual reality. In this pattern, Mary and Jesus are looking at each other. Their faces are close, their cheeks touch. There's a tenderness between Mary and her infant son. There is also a concreteness to this portrait of Mary and Jesus. The painter is not painting an abstract theme of mother and son or mother and child. He's not interested in motherhood per se. You realize that for an icon painter, there's only one mother and one child that he ever paints. He's painting Mary and Jesus and only Mary and Jesus. This, by the way, is why some modern art is so offensive. You know, when a crass modern artist paints Mary and then covers her with elephant dung, who puts a crucifix in a jar of urine, this is art that is intended as a specific attack on a spiritual message. It makes a mockery of the spiritual realities that many hold dear. And that's why we so naturally and rightly recoil from such images. The last icon pattern attributed to St. Luke is the Virgin who points the way. In this icon, Mary typically holds Jesus in the crook of her left arm. Mary's eyes look straight out from the icon. She's looking at you, the viewer. Her right arm and hand are held in a manner that she's pointing to her son. And the idea is that she points the way toward Jesus. By looking at you, the viewer, Mary is drawing you into the painting. She looks at you, and in turn, she points you toward her son, Jesus. What is Mary doing in this icon? My friends, this is Mary the evangelist. This icon is an evangelistic message. It's an evangelistic icon. Mary wants you to see her son Jesus, and she points you to him. She wants you to follow in his way. She's saying, "Look at my son." She's encouraging you to believe in Christ. And that's how this message will end. I invite you to do what Mary is pointing you to do. Turn in faith to her son Jesus. Believe in him, look to him, and follow him. Say amen, somebody.